The Daily Connect Podcast, the voice of the RNIB Connect community.
Welcome to the Daily Connect Podcast for Wednesday, the 22nd of August. Chris Wallace with you on the show today. And I'm telling you that we're getting all sporty as community facilitator Sophie Fox joins a visually impaired running group. There's an alternative view of sight loss as part of our World Connect series, where we'll be crossing over to the USA to find out what it's like for a VI woman under the American Disabilities Act. And in addition, today we hear from the West Midland Community Facilitator, Nikki Kelly, who's telling us about upcoming events that will let you try archery and taste some beer, hopefully not at the same time. In our pause for thought, we hear about guide dogs Arnie and Yuri, and there's a new radio available from charity, the British Wireless for the Blind Fund. That's coming up in the Daily Connect today.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
But first of all, what's the best way to make someone understand the difficulties you face? Maybe make them walk a mile in your shoes. How about doing that, but adding sim specs? Well, that's what they did in Worthing, as advocators made councillors aware of how dangerous street clutter can be for blind and partially sighted people.
The council announced in the local paper they were going to trial a licensing scheme to reduce the amount of street clutter. I approached the council to say, could we work with you to help you make this happen? Because as we all know, anyone with a sight issue, that street clutter is pretty difficult. Now, unfortunately, it was met with a lot of negativity because the council were going to charge for the implementation of this scheme because it costs money to license and enforce it. I put a proposal to the council to say, why don't we hold a Swap With Me event with the business owners who have the street furniture on the street and the council members, just so that everybody can experience what it is like for blind people walking along a street with a lot of clutter on it. Most of the executive members and the leader from the council turn up, and lots of the businesses turn up, and we pop some sim specs on them and just very simply ask them and help them walk up and down the street to experience what it was like. And having done the Swap With Me event, the council pretty much were very determined to make the licensing trial a success. One of the stories that really made it for me was one of the local business owners who actually had three A-boards out on the street said to me, I get it now. I didn't realise beforehand. I get why this is so difficult for you. I'm going to go back and take mine off the street. And he went back and took them off there and then. So talking to people and getting people to experience what it is like for blind and partially sighted people to move about on cluttered street is incredibly powerful. And we've really got to focus on the why. Not the money. Why were we chasing this issue in the first place? And why was it such an issue in the first place? The council thought it was so powerful and so worthwhile. We are going to be working hand in hand with the local council when they roll the licensing scheme out to the rest of Worthing. And very simply put, that means that we will hold that event each time each area is proposed to be licensed for their street furniture. One, that will make it much easier for the council to implement the scheme. And secondly, people will really understand why this is so important. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about volunteering for the RNIB and you're experiencing similar issues in your local neighbourhood, then do it. It proves to me that even if you have got sight impairment and a bit of hearing loss, you can still achieve many, many things. It's also very rewarding because it helps other people as well. You have to be persistent. You have to keep going. The RNIB will give you all the support you need, and they've been brilliant with me. So if you're going to do it, good luck.
If you have a similar story of how you tackled street clutter, pavement parking, or even shared spaces, do let us know here on the Daily Connect. You can get in touch via our social media channels at RNIB Radio on Twitter. Search for RNIB Connect Radio on Facebook or email radio@rnib.org.uk.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Have you considered doing something to improve your fitness? Many blind and partially sighted people wish there was more ways to get involved in sports. Well, the good news is there are a number of VI running groups across the UK. Sophie Fox, RNIB Community Facilitator, joined one of these groups to find out what goes on during a run.
Okay, so I'm joining the VI Runners group today. Sophie Fox here, Community Facilitator for RNIB Connect. And I'm joined by Chloe. And I'm a little bit out of breath and we haven't even running for about 2 minutes. Chloe, so this is your second time coming to the group.
Isn't it?
And what do you make of it so far?
It's really cool. Nice to be around other VI people and listen to their funny stories. And there's a Facebook group as well. And you just sort of see everybody's progress. And it's just a really nice, positive thing.
So how did you find out about the group?
I was procrastinating at work.
As you do.
I was on Facebook and I typed in VI. And VI runners came up.
That sounds pretty perfect. And has it inspired you to do any crazy long runs yet, or are you kind of taking it as it comes?
I'm going to do Bath Half for guide dogs. Not quite as crazy as some of the others.
That's still a pretty mean feat, I'd say.
Hopefully.
So we're now just coming onto the cycle path between Bath and Bristol. And it's also night time, I should add that. So we've got some lampposts guiding the way, but that's kind of it, really. And there's a group about, I'd say, 10 of us, is there?
I think so.
And we're getting a nice, steady jog on now. So, Colin,
yeah.
You started this group back in, was it March?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, it was having guided Chris Blackerby in a marathon, I also realised how much... what running did for him, more than just fitness, it was about widening your social network. Plus, I could see that it really developed your confidence as a VI person. I think you can actually have your confidence can be impacted a lot. Your self-belief and willingness to realise that you can go out and do stuff and you are as good and you are as capable. And we thought, well, we could set up a group really easily. You know, get a few guides. So I went and got 24 guides trained by England Athletics, and we created a Facebook group, and then we went out to try and find VI people who were willing to give it a go. And we got about 3 or 4 initially who'd never run before, who were willing to trust us and give it a go. Teresa was one of them, and you know, we've never looked back since. And we did started with a couch to 5K, which is basically...
Bike's coming behind!
It's basically run-walk, so you don't have to have any previous running experience, whatever fitness. You can... we do what we call run-walk. Run a bit, walk a bit. And then over time, as your fitness improves, you just increase the length of time you run for and reduce the amount of time you walk for until you... believe it or not, you're doing 5K and then 10K, and you're thinking, I mean, Teresa, we were talking the other day, you wouldn't have believed,
no.
Less than a year on, you're signing up to do half marathons.
Yeah, my first half in March this year at Weston. Yeah.
Wow. So, Teresa, you were one of the original four that came along, weren't you?
Yeah, so... Yeah, started in March. Hadn't done any running before. I always enjoyed like sport, but never tried running. And so I thought, well, let's give it a go. And yeah, I haven't looked back. So yeah, like Colin said, we started off like couch to 5K, and then sort of building up to do a park run. And you know. Achieving that for the first time was a great feeling, and then building up to 10K, and then like now, you know, someone said to me this time last year, would you run a half marathon? I wouldn't believe them. So yeah, it makes you feel free. It's just a real nice, a real just a good feeling to be out running.
Yeah. I can also kind of, I can see from being, you know, within this group for the last half an hour we've been running, that you've got a really good social network here as well.
Yeah.
Have you kind of made friendships through the group? Or?
Yeah, it's a nice way to meet new people. Like, the guides are brilliant, yeah. It's nice to meet other, like, VI people as well. Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah.
It's true, running as a group, whether you're partially sighted or not, is as much a social thing as well. I almost think it's a natural thing as beings, as human beings, is one to run. We evolved that way, and probably to run as a pack. So I think, you know, it really does play into what we evolved as beings, really. Just lifting the feet, that's it, it's fine actually.
Just catching my breath a moment. It's actually my first run in a group. I normally run on my own and haven't been on a run for about 6 months, so it's keeping a very steady pace. I'm normally one of those walk-run people. So this is, I mean, I sound a lot more out of breath than you guys do, so you can probably tell that.
It's a good way to measure you by whether you can speak while you're running is a good measure of the level of effort rather than done on pure speed. It's a good gauge to know how much effort you're putting in, whether you can speak. Even if people are different standards, running as a group, you can go ahead and loop back. So even with faster and slower runners, it still is possible to run as a group.
We all met up in between like Christmas and New Year, didn't we?
We did.
So that was nice.
Yeah, we went to the pub. That's the important part. Went to the pub afterwards.
I hear that's the main part, right? Yeah. So there is a drink at the end.
Yeah.
And before Christmas, we did wasn't a pub crawl, it was a pub run where we spent the day running between pubs of Bristol, which was fun.
No, I like the sound of that one. That sounds pretty good.
In fancy dress.
Oh, brilliant.
So that was done also with the local running club, Westbury Harriers. So we sort of all merged together and ran as a group, which was good fun to do. But as Teresa said, everyone would count each other as friends now.
Yeah.
As mates.
Yeah.
I think I can see that kind of instantly from meeting up with you guys today. It's just a very welcoming, friendly group. What a wonderful thing to have created.
And you often find it's like that with all running groups, to be honest. Most running clubs are actually pretty social. In a shared activity, that's what it's about. Just lifting the feet, that's it. It's fine. We're good. Smooth.
The Daily Connect podcast.
This year marks RNIB's 150th anniversary. To celebrate, we've been asking the blind and partially sighted community for their stories and experiences of sight loss. We will be sharing these stories over the coming months to document the changes we've seen in the last 150 years. Today, it's the story of Katrina Little, who says, I have recently finished education, 5 years in mainstream secondary school, followed by 3 years in college. I got through with the support of my amazing teachers, as well as my work being made accessible for me through being printed on A3 paper. I had issues with my English recit, where my college didn't adapt my exams correctly. This didn't help me and I did struggle. I completed my education with 9 GCSEs, Level 2 Business and Tourism, and a BTEC Level 2 and Level 3 in IT. My GCSEs included a Grade C in Maths, and I also received a Maths Award in 2017 for my hard work and determination. I have never let my nystagmus stop me. If you're interested in sharing your story, please complete the submission form at www.rnib.org.uk/150stories.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Charity, the British Wireless for the Blind Fund, has been providing radios to blind and partially sighted people for 90 years. Since they are celebrating their anniversary this year, they have also decided to introduce a brand new device for people to enjoy. The Opus has DAB and DAB Plus, as well as FM radio, and is already available to qualifying candidates on free loan or to buy. Roland Myers is here to tell us all about it.
Coinciding with the 90th anniversary of British Wireless for the Blind Fund providing radios for vision-impaired people to buy and on free loan, the charity has now introduced the latest in its range of bespoke radios and audio players designed specifically for ease of use by those with little or no sight. Called the Opus, the portable digital radio offers DAB and DAB Plus and FM RDS radios, but also Bluetooth audio streaming, USB recording and playback. Some of the other features it boasts are a liquid crystal display with zoom, 10 one-touch radio presets and built-in battery charging. And its design, like their other two radios, the multi-audio format Concerto 2 and the Duet Dual Radio, has the familiar charcoal grey casing with bright yellow tactile controls. We spoke to David Beard from the charity about the new Opus, and David started by comparing it with their Concerto 2 radio, CD and cassette player.
We've heard one predominant thing about the current piece of equipment that we have, which is Concerto 2, and that's the size of it. So what we've actually done here is actually delivered a unit that's half the size of Concerto 2, and it's half the weight. In doing that, we've obviously removed a couple of elements of Concerto 2, and that's the CD and the tape element, and we just come back to a radio that has USB function.
Finding the stations you want on any radio can be difficult for someone with very limited sight. Are there easy ways of tuning into the stations you want and hanging on to the stations that you want if you might want to listen to them on a regular basis?
Of course. We can never get away from the fact that the whole process of setting a station up is visual. Although we can always listen out for obviously the station that's being played to us to determine where we are. But once we get it set up, because we have five presets, it's just as simple as pressing that button 1, 2, 5 on the top of the radio.
Right, so you've got buttons 1 to 5 on the front of the panel, and there's a small screen behind that. Does that screen give necessary and useful information, or is it an additional add-on, if you like, for people who've got usable residual vision?
So the screen tells us everything about the station that we're currently tuned to, and all of the data that's coming from the station about what the song that's just played and other information as well that's coming there.
You said it's a USB player. Right in the middle at the top in the centre, you've got the USB socket. Will it sense that you've put a USB stick in there? Will it know and start playing? How do you control the sound on the USB?
On the new Opus, we have 4 selection buttons in the top left. T for tuner, U for USB. And we just press that button for USB, it will then turn it into USB mode, and we then put the USB in, and it will obviously tell us how many tracks and everything are on there, and then we just press play and it starts playing.
And what sort of loudspeaker has it got?
This has got a left and right channel, it's a full stereo speaker. This is a Roberts player. You'll know that it's made by Roberts once you turn it on, and it has a fantastic tone.
And there's a headphone socket on it as well. Now, what new functions has Opus got that previous radios of yours haven't had?
On the old Concerto, we would always record everything back to tape. So we're now recording to USB. So this unit has full record. It will record from the radio. It will record from a microphone internal in the unit or one that you plug in. And in addition to that, it's got Bluetooth. So you can connect your smartphone and use this as an amplified speaker. And again, you can record all of that. I'm told that if you plug the right things in the right places, you can even turn this into a karaoke machine. It has an aux function on it. So you can actually get that output playing from the speakers themselves.
So have you aimed to make this a kind of all-in-one unit, bearing in mind that cassette is not with us anymore and CDs are possibly not that common?
For those that want to still use tape and CD, Concerto's still there. We've got it for a while. It's not going anywhere at the moment. But this unit, for those that are using USB, brings it bang up to date. There's no sliders, there's no belts, there's no drives. That means there's no heavy batteries that go into it. There's no weight to it.
And I guess we must finally talk about what is almost a trademark of all your radios, which is the high colour contrast, the sort of charcoal grey background and the yellow markers, which highlight all the controls. I see that they're all very different shapes and sizes. That's obviously very intentional.
Yes, totally. So even down to the fact that the arrangement of the four function buttons spells TUBA, T-U-B-A.
Yeah, that's tuner, USB, Bluetooth and AUX. So you select which of those you want the radio to actually be using, what you're listening to.
Yes. And all throughout the process, although ultimately this radio won't talk to you, it has a number of useful and helpful beeps to tell you that a preset's been stored, or a beep to tell you that you're recording on the USB. There's obviously ascending and descending tones, obviously, for when we're searching for radio stations. So there's lots of useful indicators and helpers in there. There's clearly a number of buttons on it. We're not going to get away from that. But we have tuning tone volumes and playing tone volumes and a volume button. And then once we get outside of the tuning up and tuning down and the select button, we've only then got the presets and the play, stop, fast forward, pause and record for the USB left. So at the first instance, it looks as though it is quite busy, but it is quite minimalist in the number of buttons that it has to just do exactly what it needs to do.
And I suppose significantly, with a few exceptions, every button is different in tactile terms. It either has the number 1, 2, 3, 4 or 5 on it, or it has a letter on it, or a cross, or an arrow. So can this be operated without sight?
Most certainly, yeah. The whole purpose, of those buttons, if we go right back to the first radio that had Braille on it, these are not Braille symbols, but these are recognised symbols that the manual will describe even. So when you're listening to the manual, it will tell you that it's a raised symbol with a hollow middle, or it's a raised symbol with a filled-in middle, to determine which shape it is. And like I say, all of the buttons are there, but they're all away from each other. So the presets are nowhere near the play, stop and pause buttons. The tuner buttons are over on the right out the way. The function buttons are over on the top left. And there's good finger spacing between all of them. So you're not going to press a button you believe you're pressing whilst pressing one to the left. There's no room to do that.
Now, as with all British Wireless's radios and audio players, they're available on free loan to any registrable blind or partially sighted person who meets certain criteria, and you can contact the charity to find out about those and whether you qualify for a free radio on loan. Separately, the charity's trading arm, BWBF Direct, sells their radios, and the new Opus costs £190. That price excludes VAT, which is not paid on this adapted radio if it's bought by a registered blind or partially sighted person or by someone on their behalf. And for more information about the Opus radio audio player or any other radios and players available from British Wireless, you can phone them on 01622 754 757. That's 01622 754 757. Or they may be emailed at info@blind.org.uk.
The Daily Connect podcast.
The RNIB West Midland Community Facilitator is Nikki Kelly. She's here now to tell us about some events coming to the area that you might like to take part in, including some beer and wine tasting and a chance to have a go at archery. Maybe best not to mix the two, Nikki.
Hi, I'm Nikki Kelly. I'm the Community Facilitator for the West Midlands for RNIB. We have a few events coming up in the next few weeks, which I think you will really enjoy, and I'd love to see you there. First event is on Thursday the 13th of September, which is a sports taster session in Chelmsley Wood at the Onward Club, which is on Helmswood Drive. That event will give the community the opportunity to learn how to play soft archery. We've got three sports taster sessions. We had our first one yesterday, which was VI tennis, which was great fun. And we all got a free racket and ball each, which was wonderful. And thank you to Harry Ash from the Tennis Foundation, because he was the gentleman that came along and delivered the session. That was great fun. The next one will be the soft archery, which is on the 13th of September, which will be delivered at the Onward Club by the wonderful Andy from Inclusive Sports. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I've not played archery before. Hopefully no one gets injured. So it'd be really fun to give that a go. But as it's soft archery, it should be okay. I'm hoping. It's going to be a really fun afternoon. The second event is on Thursday, the 20th of September, which is a joint event with the East Midlands Network at the Charnwood Brewery, which will give you the opportunity to try a variety of beer and wines. And it's only going to cost you £10. And that includes trying 5 beers and 2 wines, and also includes food. So we're working with our friends in the East Midlands Network. Our community requested that we do a brewery event. So it's at Charnwood Brewery, and you get to try a variety of wines and beers, which is going to be great. And it's only £10, which will also include food, which is pizza. So it's an absolute bargain and really worth coming to. I'm hoping to find a new favourite at the brewery on the 20th. Please come along to that. And last but by no means least, on Friday, the 21st of September, is our Cannock group, which is a monthly group that happens at the Cannock Library on Manor Avenue. And this month we'll be having special guest Mark Edwards, who will be coming to talk about what courses are available to you as a visually impaired person to get back into work. For more information on all of these events, please call me, Nikki Kelly, on 0121 665 4212. Thank you. Hope to see you there.
If you're involved in any blind or partially sighted groups in your area and you have events coming up, we want your voice on the Daily Connect. Let us know what's happening and we'll get you on air. You can get in touch via Twitter at RNIB Radio or via our Facebook page. Just search for RNIB Connect Radio on facebook.com. You can, of course, email us radio@rnib.org.uk or search for our website, rnibconnectradio.org.uk.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
As part of our continuing World Connect series, we're now crossing the Atlantic to find out what life is like for a blind woman in the United States.
I think, in general, being a disabled person in the US, you're sort of, I think this is true for everyone, the attitude in any job seems to be, we'll assume that you can do something until something happens and you can't. Whereas in a lot of other places, you feel you're proving to people that you can do something. And that sort of slight, subtle shift is very empowering in many ways. Now, you know, there are occasions where you wish people would sort of anticipate some of your needs, but most of the time, you just get on with it. And sort of like, you know, if you get stuck, you ask for help. Otherwise, they assume you're doing okay. It's kind of a slightly different attitude. When I came over, I really had to fight to get route training, even to find my way around campus. And it was doled out very much on a sort of 3 or 4 session allowance at a time. And I had to ask for extra sessions when I needed them, and I'm reasonably quick learner, but still it was a bit of a battle. But the hysterical thing at the end of it was the governor of our state, Rick Schneider, who's a Republican, have a signed letter from Rick Schneider which says that I have officially been rehabilitated, which I guess means that if I want any more route training, I can go stuff it and get it from somewhere else. So that sort of in a nutshell is kind of like gives you, like, that's Michigan. Now, I used to live in California and I also lived in Boston. And in both of those areas, I found that there were much more supportive groups of people and organizations, and it was never an issue. I didn't have to pay for my own route training. Here, I didn't have to pay either, but I had to have the university pay for it. So it wasn't something that was automatic. And no, I don't get free white canes. I pay full price for them. And any adaptive equipment is, you know, I just have to either pay for it myself or find funding. The one frustrating thing is that as a new faculty member, I receive a startup grant, which is basically intended for me to set up my lab. But I've had to use that to buy my own adaptive equipment because there's no other mechanism within the University of Michigan for me to get that. So basically, I'm seeing some cost of being a physically disabled faculty member. Even things like the fact that, you know, the tactile crossing signals that are being rolled out all across the UK, I kind of took those for granted when I was living in the UK, but there are no audible or tactile crosswalk signals in downtown Ann Arbor, where I live. There are a couple of audible ones, but and it actually kind of forced me to think very carefully about where I lived, because there were several major roads that there's just no way for me to cross. And there's a sort of an anomalous situation where there's a very famous eye center here called the Kellogg Eye Center, and there isn't even an accessible crosswalk outside the Kellogg Eye Center so that you can get across to the public bus stop. So yeah, there's dots that need to be joined. When people talk about empowering populations of people who, or, you know, groups of people who may be disadvantaged, the go-to situation here is very much race. So when we talk about equal opportunities, people with disability fall very much to the bottom of that pile because we're relatively small as a population. It's the fact that everything is currently sort of lumped under one umbrella of equal access or non-discrimination or whatever way you want to look at it. But because we're such a small population with, you know, even if you lumped all the people with disabilities together, we still represent a very small proportion of the population. And then, of course, when you cut across that population and look at, even within that population, at financial situations, even race, all of the other things, that there are people who are disadvantaged on multiple dimensions, and their voice is very unlikely to be heard. Painted a very negative picture in many ways, but I think just, you know, when you coming up to an election, all of these things become very politically charged, and so you're very aware of them. But I would say that, you know, generally speaking, if you are lucky enough to be employed in a good job in the US, you'll find that your organization on the whole is very supportive, because, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act, although many people sort of deride it, has actually created a great depth of consciousness across a very wide spectrum of society about the fact that it is not acceptable to treat people with disabilities in a way that's any different from anybody else in society.
The Daily Connect podcast.
It's the cutest time of the week. Yes, time once again for pause for thought. Shan Healy is the Mobility Team Service User Representative for Guide Dogs Cymru. Here she talks about her guide dogs, Arnie and Yuri.
In March, unfortunately, my guide dog of 7.5 years, Arnie, unfortunately had to retire because he began to feel very stressed and was suffering from arthritis. And I noticed that he was not always happy in harness, and they came in and assessed him. And it was quite an emotional roller coaster, because I'd hoped, he was only just 9, and I'd really hoped that he would get a bit further down in his career before he had to retire. So it was a bit shock, and it was a bit immediate as well, because when I got assessed, which is what guide dogs do, they come in and they look at you working together, and they almost made the decision there and then that he needed to retire. And they literally told me that he was only working because he wanted to work for me and be with me. And that was really, really difficult. But at that moment, yes, we handed over his harness. We had a few speaker roles to do first, which they allowed me just to take him for those. And then he officially retired when we finished our last talk, which was for a college. And then that was it. His harness was gone. And then I was really lucky. It was only a couple of months after that, after picking up my cane. And again, I had guide dog support again. They came out. I had retraining with my cane just to keep me going. My world began to shrink already. Any guide dog owners know this happens. Getting your confidence back with a cane is quite a challenge. And then fortunately, Yuri came along quicker than we had expected, because unfortunately his original match didn't work out, not because of Yuri and not because of the other person. As all guide dog owners know, there are times when being a guide dog owner is the right thing, and sometimes when it just doesn't fit with your life. And it's a difficult decision to make, that sometimes a guide dog isn't the right thing. And for the person he originally trained with, she made the decision that although he was a really good guide dog, it wasn't the right thing in her life at the time. And that's a really brave thing to do. So he was sort of in limbo. I was in limbo. And they said to me, Sian, this dog really does match your life really well. I mean, it's a complete coincidence that he would fit in with you, the things you like doing. He walks at a good pace for you. Would you like to just, you know, see how you get on? And within a couple of days, because of the strange circumstances, he was living with me and we were training quite quickly. I had a few blips about, was it the right thing to do? Was it too soon? Because of, you know, you go through a bit of grief, a physical and emotional grief when your guide dog retires. It's quite a difficult stage. And then for a new puppy to almost come bouncing into your life. And I mean, I am really, really fortunate. I was able to keep Arnie. I have family up the road. He goes to doggy daycare with my mum and dad, so his grandparents look after him. I've got my husband who walks him. I was able to keep him, so I was really, really grateful, because a lot of people have the difficult decision that they can't keep them. And guide dogs always look at the welfare of the dog first. And they came and assessed the provision I'd made for him to stay with me, and they said he was okay to stay. So I'm lucky. I've now got two dogs at home. One is a pet dog who is ageing, and then this new puppy who's come into our lives, bouncing through, and has picked up the harness and has picked up my life. And I'm back out as busy as ever, with restrictions, because when you start a new partnership with a guide dog, you are under restrictions. I can't do fundraising and things like that until about 6 months to a year, whereas I was doing a lot of fundraising and talks and things like that with Arnie. But I can still do the things I love. I can still go to art class. I can come to the CIB and do my volunteering with a museum. So Yuri is on full mode, really. And in a few months to be able to do that, I am so grateful and privileged, really, to be a guide dog owner and have this freedom that he's given me.
How do Yuri and Arnie get along?
Well, luckily, they get along really well, because that was one of my biggest concerns. You know, if they don't get on, that's going to be a really difficult decision. Do I send the new working dog back, or, you know, we'll have to find new provisions for Arnie? As it happened, the first few days, they just ran around like fools. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage two dogs? And they're not small dogs either. They're both Labrador retrievers. One is a goldy colour, Arnie, very golden, very retrievery. And then Yuri, my new dog, is very white. And again, a Labrador retriever, but he looks more like a Labrador. But they're both quite large dogs. So they're both running around my house and my garden like mad fools, playing and having fun. I thought, oh gosh, am I going to be able to cope with this? But as it happened, they've settled down really well. And they cuddle up together. They're very close and they're both getting on really well. I am so lucky that they're actually good company for each other. In fact, Arnie seems to be far more settled. Seems to be so much better for having Yuri around, because he started getting stressed even in the car. He'd pant and I get anxious and squeak and things. And now when they both go in the car, I think he also knows they're going to go somewhere nice together and he's not going to need to work. He's quiet in the car and settles next to Yuri really well. And he's even sleeping better, because he was beginning to get a bit anxious in the night. So I'm lucky that it's really, really fortunate that this has happened to me in this way. And I've got to enjoy it, because all guide dog owners know we're on a difficult path. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know the health of our dogs. We don't know what could be next with our own health or with the dog's health. So I am really enjoying, you know, the freedom that, and the independence I've got at the moment, and I'm making the most of it.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
That's it for the Daily Connect podcast today. There will be a brand new Daily Connect podcast with you tomorrow, just after 5 p.m. But if you want to listen to us live, you can tune in every weekday between 10 a.m. and 12 noon on RNIB Connect Radio. As for tomorrow's show, well, I'll be finding out about train travel experiences for blind and partially sighted people. And in our news review, I'll be joined this week by the Afternoon Edition's Simon Pawley and blind stand-up comedian and actress Georgie Morell to discuss a misplaced joke, a lawsuit, and accessibility at the Fringe. Do join us for the Daily Connect tomorrow here on RNIB Connect Radio.
The Daily Connect Podcast.